I'm Mike Salem. My dad's desire of the Christian Worship Hour was to bring comfort, hope, and encouragement from God's Word, and to bring the message of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We feel blessed to carry on this ministry through your prayers and support. We are grateful for your comments to us. From Facebook, I love this gathering of people. I got my start with God because of Pastor Salem and CWH. And from New Zealand, I'm so thankful you keep running services with Pastor Salem. He makes lessons so relatable in an honest and loving way. He made you feel like you mattered in life and as a member of his flock, no matter where you are in your journey with Christ. Thank you, CWH. Today's message, Watch Out for Mrs. Potiphar, is the second in a series on Joseph, reminding us that in good times or bad, we need our Lord Jesus. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and we're 1 week closer to meeting the Lord. But you know what? All around the world today, right now, we're going to meet the Lord Jesus. We're all going to gather at the feet of Jesus and worship Him, a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful Jesus. And so we just welcome you as we worship Him in this hour. We're looking at Psalms 37 today, where the psalmist writes and says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices will pass." Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are so good to us, and that we can come to you at any time, day or night, no matter where we are, and you'll listen to us, and you'll take our, and you'll know our hearts, and you'll bless and help us. And so we fret not because of evildoers or things of life that may cause us problems, but we rejoice in you, the wonderful Lord Jesus. So in this service, may we exalt the Son of God and bless the people of God, and bring all those outside of Christ into the saving grace of the Lord Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa has a song now. She's going to sing, "Just As I Am."
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, with strife and fear within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive with welcome pardon, cleanse. I come, I come.
Thank you, Melissa. And you know, while she was singing, I was just thinking, I wonder if there might be someone, someplace, and you want Jesus to come into your heart, and you don't want to wait for any sermon or anything else. The Holy Spirit's been talking to you, and you want Jesus. And if that's the case, you just say, Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you and follow you the best I can in Jesus' name, and then thank him for saving you. And you have been born again. If you make that prayer, you've been born again. You're a child of God. And it's so wonderful when we preach, we don't tell people, get cleaned up and come to Jesus. You come just the way you are, and all your sin, all your wickedness, come just as you are, and Jesus will clean you and wash you clean and make you right. Oh, it's a wonderful message. Come to Jesus. Well, we want to thank all of you for your letters. We get so many nice letters. I wish we could read them all, but then I wouldn't get to preach any, and I'd break my heart if I couldn't preach. So I kind of keep these to a limit. But there's just so many good letters. And here's one from Fargo, North Dakota. And this person writes and says, Dear Pastor, I have asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I pray to him, but I was wondering if he will come into my heart, even though I'm not 100% sure if I believe. I do believe, but it scares me that I might go to hell since I don't know. I watch videos of people telling stories about seeing Jesus. It's hard to explain. Do people 100% even believe even though they're not sure? I just want to go to heaven and meet Jesus and not go to hell. Is there anything I can do? Now, this is a lady writing. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people think this. Over the years, I've been in the ministry 72 years. I don't know how many times I've had people say, Can I be sure? Have I said the right words? Have I enough faith? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said, if you believe in him, all things are possible. And he says, if you believe in him, he says, even if I have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Matthew 17:20. So what Jesus is saying, if you have faith as big as a mustard seed, and have you ever seen a mustard seed? Well, you better keep your eyes open because they're tiny, tiny. And Jesus says, if you have the tiniest faith, you maybe don't have 100% faith. I don't know if anybody does. I know I don't have 100% faith. You remember when there was this man and he had a boy and he was kept casting himself into the fire, and the disciples couldn't heal him. And then Jesus came and healed him. And they said, and this man, and Jesus says to the father, do you believe? And this is what he said. Yes, and the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Said it in the same breath. And so you may not have 100%. It's just, I like to illustrate it this way. It's like those old window shades. And when the sun is brilliant, blazing on those old shades, if there was one tiny little hole, that sun would brace through, shine through. And if you've got faith just as a mustard seed, tiniest faith, and you ask Jesus to save you, he'll save you, because you know why? He wants to save you. He's not willing that any should perish. So you just ask Jesus and you just believe it with all you can, and that'll be enough. Just take him at his word. Oh, it's wonderful, wonderful message. Here is Chicago Heights, Illinois. I saw your service on Sunday. When I tuned in, you were reading letters. I was encouraged immensely. I had been challenged with daily issues by watching your program. I have chosen to see them in just another stepping stones, just another step on my ladder to victory. Thank you. Well, this means this dear person is growing in grace. And all the experiences of life, whether they're good or they're bad, we can use them for stepping stones. come closer to Jesus, closer to God, closer to heaven. Here's Winterset, Iowa. I am confined to a scooter chair. You are my only church. God bless you and your crew. And that I just thought, you know, here's some person that cannot get to church. You ought to go to church if you can. But I know there are many that can't. And so we'll be your church, of course, because we're the body of Christ. And when you accept Jesus Christ, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're members of what they call the invisible church. It's the believers all over the world. And so we're all one. And I want to tell you something. We've got a little paper that we put out, and it's called The New Song. And you get your pencil and paper, and I'll give the address in a minute. Called The New Song. And this new song helps you grow in grace. It's a Bible study every week. It's every month, it's a new Bible study. Free and postpaid. Here is Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Listen to this. I am 101 years old. I've been a widow for 15 years, but still live alone in my home. The Christian Worship Hour is my church service every Sunday morning. Thank you so much. And 101, and I am so jealous of this lady, I don't know what to do. I've been bragging, I've been 95, and I'm just getting proud as I could be. And here she is, she got me beat 6 years already. Lord have mercy. And so, you know, I'll tell you say, are you going to live that long? You know how long I'm going to live? As long as the Lord wants me to. Because in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12, God says, He'd teach us to number our days. God has a certain number of days for all of us. And whether they're few or whether they're many, use them for Jesus. Use them for the Savior. Here's Larned, Kansas. Greetings. I am an inmate in a prison mental health facility. I watch your program every week. I am blessed to have an outside job. I'm sending you a little money to help with your bills. God is good. Keep up the good work. I'd like for you to please pray for all the people in this world that have drug and alcohol issues. Thank you and God bless you. And oh my God, we do need to pray for those people that are caught up in drugs or liquor or tobacco or sex or whatever, or maybe money, crazy after money, whatever it might be. And just pray, just that God will deliver them. He'll set them free. If you come to Jesus, He'll make a new creation out of you, and He'll give you strength to beat whatever you got. You can beat it. You can't do it by yourself, but you can with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. And St. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. Help for everybody. Here's Waterloo, New York. I pray for the Christian Worship Hour. It brought me back to Christ in 2004. The Christian Worship Hour, we've been going almost 30 years now. And we've always told the wonderful way of salvation. It is so simple and so plain. And here's a dear person, 2004, accepted Jesus, came to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something else. Once you're saved forever. People write in that says, well, I'm afraid I'll lose my salvation. You couldn't lose your salvation if you wanted to. When you accept Jesus Christ, you're saved forever. You're a part of the body of Christ, and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have a beautiful little booklet called Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. It's free and postpaid. If you can send a little contribution, you can, but you just write down salvation. I'll give you the address in just a minute. But you can write down salvation, and it has all the promises of God. It's not what man thinks. It's what God says. It's wonderful. Oh, this salvation is so wonderful. God has been so good to us. Here is one from Inver Grove Heights, Minnesota. May God bless your staff. We enjoy all the work they do. We wish we could come and join you sometime, but poor health does not permit that. May God bless you, your friends from across the border here in Minnesota. Well, I wish we could come and visit us too, but I'll tell you what we will do. We'll just plan on getting together in heaven. And I might just say this. We do have people come to visit us, and we have our services. We have one service at 9. We have one at 10:15. And you just call our church. You can get it on the website. You call us and let us know. We'll tell you what Saturdays we're working, when we're doing them, and you can come and worship with us. But if you can't make it, you'll make it in heaven. If you have Jesus, you will be there. I'll be there. And we'll get together, and won't we? Oh, won't that be wonderful to see some of you people in all parts of the world, and you can see us, and you can hear us on shortwave radio, but we're going to see you face to face, and we'll shake everybody's hand because we'll be eternity, so we'll have forever to shake hands. So how can you beat that? Well, we have to get permission from the Lord first, but I'm sure he wants us to be friendly and love each other. And let me see one more from Rapid City, South Dakota. You changed my life and my family's lives. In 1998, when I was 31 years old, I was baptized with my father and older brother. Your sermons were the words my father needed to understand on how to have a relationship with Jesus. Until he heard your sermons and services, he didn't truly believe. Thank you for teachings each week. We'll all continue to listen and learn from you. Well, I'll tell you why the message is so good, because it's the Bible. It isn't anything I figured out or anything that I have all that wisdom. It's the Bible, the Word of God. And that's what we do. We live on the Word of God. We saturate our songs and our services and our messages with the wonderful Word of God. And then the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and he applies it to hearts. And some he has to say, you're on the wrong track. You need to turn. He'll say to some, you need to stop doing this. He'll say to others, don't give up. You're on the right track. God's using you. See, the Holy Spirit, he knows every one of us. We don't know you from Adam and what your needs are. But the Holy Spirit knows exactly. And that wonderful Holy Spirit of God, third person of the Holy Trinity, and he comes to comfort and to correct and direct us and to change our ways and make us listen to him and give us faith and hope. Oh, the Holy Trinity, always in our service. And so we'd like to hear from you. And you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And we hope that you'll pray for us, and then pray this. If you think this service is worthwhile, if you think it's something from the Lord, you ask the Lord if you should give, and you ask him how much to give, and then you send it to that address. And maybe you're way off in Africa somewhere. You say, well, I'd sure like to send it, but I don't know how I can send any money over the air. Oh, you can do that. You get to a computer, and you get Christian Worship Hour. ChristianWorshipHour.com, and on there you can find out. It'll say donate, and you can say just how much you want to give. We'll get it in a United States currency, and we'll pay our bills. And we're not underwritten by any organization or any denomination or corporation. It's just the people of God supporting the work of God. So we're dependent on you. And I know what some are saying. Oh, I've heard about all these places. You send in their money, and then they get fancy cars and boats and cars and airplanes, and I don't know what they're doing with that money. Well, I'm going to tell you, we are a member of what they call the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's an international organization, and they audit our books, and they check every penny. And they not only check on what we get, but they check on how we use it. Where do you spend it? You're buying a car with it, or are you getting the gospel with it? And so you don't need to worry. You can get on the internet, ECFA, Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And it's as solid as a rock, and you don't need to worry about where the money goes. So we need your prayers. One other thing I want to mention. We have a little paper that we put out as a little Bible study. Every month it's called the New Song, New Song. And we send it free and postpaid. You just write to us. There's the address, and those on the shortwave, I'll give it to you. It's Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember, 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Aberdeen, South Dakota, SD, 57402, USA. So we're going to be looking for you. And who knows, might even read your letter. But we'll sure spend your money if you send it. So God bless you. So now I'm going to pray, then Jan's going to play, and you give as God leads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Genesis chapter 39 today. And if you have your Bibles, you can get Genesis 39, beginning with the fifth verse. And this is an incident that takes place. Joseph, you remember, last time he sold into as a slave into Egypt. And then as a slave in Egypt, he has a way of interpreting dreams for the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh makes him second in charge and command of all of Egypt. And he puts him in charge of, his household and all that he has. And there's an incident where Potiphar's wife tries to tempt Joseph. And I'm going to preach about it, but Hank's going to sing about it. But first, let's read about it. And then Hank's going to sing about it, and you're going to enjoy it. And then I'll preach about this incident with Potiphar's wife. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in this house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house therein. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And we're going to pray for Joseph about this lesson we learned from Joseph. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story of Joseph, and we thank you for the character of this young man, that he knew this was a sin and he would not sin against it, do this thing and sin against his God. And he ran from it. He got away from it. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll help all of us to have that in mind, especially the young people that have so many temptations. But even in old age, we can have temptations to do evil and to do wrong. The devil never gives up on it as long as we have breath. And so help us to be like David. This is abstinence, Lord, total abstinence. And what do we hear about abstinence in these days? It's just the opposite. Do whatever you want to do, whatever you feel like doing, and that's all right. But it is not all right in your sight. It might be in society's eyes, but not in your holy eyes. So help us to be strong and help us to be true. And Lord, we're thinking about our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. And we're thinking about how that they stand for you and love you, and how some of them are going through deep waters and fiery trials. And some of them, oh my God, they're giving their life for you. They're losing their heads. They're putting in the fire. They're throwing in the water. They're drowning. They're doing everything to these dear people. And so we pray. We pray not for those who have died, because they're in your presence. They wear the martyr's crown, and they're being glorified by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But we pray for those left behind, that you'll comfort their hearts. And I know, God, I know you'll be with them. I know, because you promised you'd never leave us or forsake us, and help them to realize, whether they can see you or not or feel you or not, you are there and you are helping them, and you'll help them all the way through until we all gather around the throne of grace. And so we just pray, Lord, and we just pray that you'll help all of us Christians all over the world, some of us not having any trials at all, really, or persecution, and help us to take heart because we see these brothers and sisters dying for you, and help us to be brave, and help us to be true, and help us to be strong to the glory of God. Oh, God, we just thank you. And so our dear brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, may this be a special day for them. May all of us all over the world pray for them. So now we pray you'll bless us in this service. Teach us the lessons you'd have us to learn. Help us to be faithful, loyal, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now Hank's going to sing, and he's got it entitled, I Gotta Run. So God bless you, Hank. Thank you, Pastor.
When Joseph got around old Potiphar's wife, she wanted him to be with her and stay all night. Just when the devil thought he had won, Joseph left his coat and he started to run. He had to run. He had to run. He had to run and get away from there. He had to run. He had to run. He had to run and get away from there. Temptation's been a problem since a long, long ago. The devil knows your weakness and he knows where to go. But I belong to Jesus and I'm not going down. I can't stay where the devil's around. I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta run and get away from there. I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta run and get away from there. The Bible says the devil is a roaring lion. He's looking for people that he can devour. But if we will resist him, he has to leave. I'm not gonna let him get a hold of me. I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta run and get away from there. I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta run and get away from there. Every time I get around the devil's crowd, a drinking and a smoking and a cussing out loud. Then they start to tell some dirty joke. I can't hang around, I've got to go. I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta run and get away from there. I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta run and get away from there. I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta run and get away from there.
Well, Hank, thank you. God bless you. And I'm glad you didn't run before you sang. But that's the sermon. That's the sermon. It isn't stay there and in the middle of a temptation and stand, but get out of there. Get away from it. Don't travel with those people. Well, that's what we're going to look at in our message today. You know, we've been spending our time with a life looking at Joseph, looking at the life of Joseph. And today we're seeing how that he has come to his brothers and helped them to watch over them and report on them. And they've taken him and they've cast him into a dirty, filthy cistern. And then they wanted to kill him, but Reuben says, oh, don't do that, don't do that. And so they put him in this cistern. And while he's in that cistern coming from Gilead, a caravan of Ishmaelites coming, and they're on their way to Egypt, and they're carrying with them spices and balm and myrrh and other things, and they're going on by to Egypt, and they come by these brothers, and the Joseph's hateful brothers stop the caravan and says, we've got a young man here, he can sell, we want to sell him to be a slave, and what do you give us for him? And the Ishmaelites looked at this, Joseph, and he's strong, and he's handsome, and he's a beautiful young man. And they'll say, we'll give you 20 pieces of silver. When they wanted to sell out, Judas wanted to sell out Jesus, he took 30 pieces of silver. So for Joseph, they take 20 pieces of silver, and they sell their own flesh and blood into slavery, and probably into death, so far as they know. They sent him into sorrow, and they sent him into servitude, and they didn't know what that young boy was going to do or how he'd ever get along, or they never, ever expected to see him again. But they had their money, and they were done with Joseph because they hated Joseph. So Joseph is taken into Egypt, and then he's taken down to the slave market. And at the capital of the Pharaoh's, captain of the Pharaoh's guard comes by, and he's looking for a slave. He needs a new slave, and he's head of the royal guard. You couldn't get any higher than that. And he comes by and he checks all of the different men and some of the women, perhaps. He's looking for a slave. And there were dozens and dozens of prospects brought to him from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And he could just have anything he wanted because he was Pharaoh's chief guard. And his eyes fall upon Joseph, and he has an expert eye. And he looks to Joseph, he inquires about his nationality, and then he makes a bargain, and they always have to bicker around about it. They make a bargain, and he buys Joseph, and Joseph becomes a slave in Potiphar's house. Now look at Joseph. He could have felt deserted by God, couldn't he? He's a young man. His own brothers have sold him into slavery, and here comes this tough-looking Potiphar, and he buys a price for him. And what is he going to do with him? If he wants to, he can kill him. He can torture him. He can work him to death. He can do anything he wants. Look at Joseph. He could have felt deserted by God. He could have said, oh, God, where are you? I need your help, and you're nobody. Where are you anyway? He could have felt sorry for himself. He could have had a first-class pity party, couldn't he? Feeling sorry for himself, he could have moaned and groaned to high heaven. But what did he do? What did Joseph do? Because he had a firm faith in God, he accepted his situation. He determined to do his very best no matter what his calling was. Take a lesson from that, dear friend. Let's bloom where we're planted. Let's play the hand that we're dealt. Let's make the best that we have and stop feeling sorry for ourselves. I've been in the work of ministry a long time. I've helped a lot of people by the grace of God and the word of God. But the toughest one I've ever run into and the fewest I could help was those who felt sorry for themselves. Pity parties. Wake up. Joseph could have been the biggest pity party on earth. Instead, he holds his head high. And God, I'll serve you wherever I am. You're my God. My father taught me always to do the best you can do. If it's digging a ditch or whatever it is, or if it's tying wool for the sheep shears. And that was one of my jobs as a boy, tying wool for the sheep shears. And you have to keep up with them or they get on you good and proper. Always do your best, and that was Joseph. And if I'm going to be a slave, he said, I'm going to be a good slave. I'll be the best slave he has. And because of Joseph's industriousness and his faithfulness and his truthfulness and his sterling character, God blessed the whole house of Pharaoh because of this one young man, because he's God's man. And he's God's example here. And he blesses Pharaoh's household. And Pharaoh catches on. Potiphar. Potiphar recognized the fact that God was blessing his home because of Joseph. He recognized the fact that God, somebody, had his hand on that young man. He was a man of faith. He was a man of conviction. He was a man of personal charm. And what do you call that? Charisma, whatever it is. Joseph had it. And Potiphar said, this is a young man. He is special. And he was special because he was God's man in a wicked world, in a wicked place. And so he made him the chief, gave him the chief post over his house. Potiphar said, you can do whatever you want. Everything is under your hand. I'm putting it under your control. You are in charge of my home, my house. You know, there are some people like that. They're just like Joseph. They're just something about them. You like to be around them. You want to be with them. You welcome them into your home. Welcome them into your church. There are just some people that just bring the best out of you. But then again, there's another kind. And there's another kind of people, wherever they are, there's always a little ripple. There's a little tiny adverse. There's something blowing in the wind. They're always causing little trouble. And they always bring out, not like Joseph, who brought out the best in others. They are people that bring out the worst in others. And they are selfish, wanting their own way. And you know I like to loan money to people like that, because then you never see them again. Get them out of your picture. Get them out of your place. And so Potiphar could surely see that he had a special man in Joseph, and he takes him and makes him this hard-nosed captain of the guard, puts him in charge of the entire household. Everything is open to Joseph except his Potiphar's wife, and that seems fair enough. But what about Potiphar's wife? No need to go over the sordid details of the story. You've heard it 100 times and more. The world likes to talk about those things. Like, well, Fred, take the story of David and Bathsheba. How many times have you said of that man, that David, who was a man after God's own heart, who was such a good man and had his heart right with God, but he fell into sin with Bathsheba. And how many times have you heard about that instead of the goodness of David? You just hear about the sordid things. Oh, the sinners like to read that. And they read that all the time. They're sinners and they're on the wide road to hell. And they find all of these things about a good man. And they'll do everything they can to tear him down. But if God blesses him, God's going to prosper that man no matter what happens. Somewhere along the line, you're going to run in for Mrs. Potiphar. I entitled the sermon, Watch Out for Mrs. Potiphar. And I've made that title because somebody, somewhere, you're going to run into Mrs. Potiphar. You're going to encounter temptation, hot and heavy. It doesn't have to necessarily be sex, as in Joseph's case. It can be 1,000 other things. For Judas, it was the love of money that took him down. For King Herod, it was the love of power. For Demas, it was the love of the world. For Peter, it was the denial of Peter. It was the pride of life. He was too proud to admit that he was a new Jesus Christ. And so this is going to happen. Mrs. Potiphar is going to come. She's looking for you, and she's going to come to you. She doesn't always, and I'm going to tell you, she always won't always be wearing a skirt. When she comes along, she may come as an emissary of Satan. And you know what St. Paul tells us? He says that the devil can send his emissaries, and the devil can come as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So Mrs. Potiphar can show up in 1,000 different ways, and temptation is going to come to you one way or another. And it's going to come at any time of life. Sometimes it comes to a little boy, he steals little green apples. That's Mrs. Potiphar getting him to steal or disobey or tell a lie. It come to some old geezer. He's counting his money. Oh, he loves his money. He runs that through his money, and he looks at his account, and oh, does that look good. At this temptation can come at any age. And it can come at any age to hate, maybe, or to despise, or to not for to give. God only knows. But one thing for sure, somewhere down the road, you're going to run into Mrs. Potiphar. She's awaiting for you, and you better be prepared. And absolutely, absolutely, the dumbest thing you can do is to think that you are so strong that you won't be tempted. I am too strong to be tempted. I would never do a sin like that. Oh, no, not holy little me. Ah, oh, no. Well, do you know what God says? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The toughest of the best of them can fall. Some people, I think, that after they've been a Christian for some time, the temptation will end. And they ask one old pastor, when do you think you're going to be ended with the end? Temptation's going to be ended for you. He says, I think probably 3 days after I'm dead. That's always there. It doesn't matter what your occupation or profession might be. And it doesn't matter what your age might be. And it doesn't matter what education you have or whether you have any education at all. It may be a dumbbell, but she's interested in dumbbells too. She doesn't leave anybody out. The tempter's going to follow you from the cradle to the grave. And let me tell you something else. And mark this down. The closer you get to Jesus Christ, the closer you get to Jesus, the hotter the battle will be. He is going to hit you harder. And the more spiritual you are, the closer you are to Jesus Christ, the harder he's going to hit you. Somebody said, Satan aims high. When he wanted to sell the Lord, somebody to sell the Lord, he went to the treasurer of the company to sell Jesus. When he wanted somebody to deny him, he went to the chief apostle, didn't he? When he wanted to call down fire from heaven upon the Samaritans who refused the disciples' hospitality, he went to John, who was the nearest to the heart of God. And John, the one that Jesus gave his to take care of his mother, the most loving of all, he goes to John to call down fire from heaven on these poor Samaritans. When he saw David as one of the greatest men of his day, he went to him and he brought him low. When he saw Noah righteous among the sinners, he went to him and got him drunk. And when he went to Adam in the Garden of Eden, he went to the angels in heaven and caused them to fall. Satan aims high. Listen to me. He tempted even the Son of God, didn't he? So he's not a scared to come to you, good and proper, Buster. And you better be ready, and you better be close to Jesus. And when he came to tempt Jesus, what did he do? He rubbed salt into an injury. He tempted him at the temple, at the church he tempted him. Oh, Jesus said in Matthew 26, 40, 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Notice that, the flesh is weak. Oh my God, how weak it is. Peter declared he would never deny the Lord, but he surely did big time. We don't know ourselves. We don't know how weak we are. We don't know how far we could fall, how flat we could fall, how hard we could fall. Young people, you need to watch out. Satan is going to work harder on you than anybody else. Why? Because you're young and you have all of your life and your talents that you use for the Lord, and he wants to drop you down. And you'll have temptations in youth that you'll never have the rest of the way. It'll be different kinds of temptations coming. It's going to be hard for you, and you need to stand up for the Lord because you're in the flesh. And someone said to Joseph, he was a strong young man in the flesh. He wasn't a marble statue or an ancient mummy. He was in the flesh. And that's where the temptation came. And so temptation can come to 1,000 different ways. It can come to sex outside of marriage. It comes through drugs. It comes through liquor. It comes through television. It comes through the internet, pornography, magazines, books, music, bad company. Don't give in to peer pressure. And when you young people, and they'll want you to do this or do that, and they'll say, well, everybody's doing it. When they say everybody's doing it, you say, you're a liar. They're not all doing it. Not everybody is doing it. They'll just come to the Lord. And whenever they say that to you, you just leave that crowd. You're in the wrong gang, wrong crowd. Travel with the people of God instead. You'll need all the help and support you can get, and you can support and help others. Just remember, friend of mine, Mrs. Potiphar is hanging around town. She's looking for you. She wants to get her hands on you. She wants to trap you just like she did trap Joseph, tried to trap Joseph 3,000 years ago. And so when you run into her, as you will, what did Joseph do? He tells us what to do. He fled and ran away. Get out of there. Don't stay there thinking you're so tough and strong. And the next time the old gang wants you to smoke a joint or take a snort or whatever you do, I don't know what to do with this stuff, just to run for your life, get a different gang, get a different bunch, get away. So Potiphar is madder than a wet hen. Mrs. Potiphar is wet hen, and she's not through. And before she's done, Joseph is in prison. She tells her husband that he tried to rape me, and Potiphar put him in prison. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I always chuckle when I read that. Potiphar didn't believe his wife any more than the man in the moon. Because I'm going to tell you something. If Potiphar would have believed his wife, that Joseph tried to rape his wife, he would have killed him on the spot. But he had to shut her mouth up, so he had to lock Joseph up. And he put him in prison. So there he is. He's put in a place of hell on earth. Here he is, ahead of the whole thing. He's living a wonderful life, and now he's back in the dungeon. He was started in the dungeon by his brothers, and now he's in the dungeon again. And what's he going to do, and how's he going to turn? God help him. Now he's in a pit. And so then he has to have, he has told the butler, you remember the butler was with him in there. He says, now when you get out, you remember me. And if you can help me, say a good word for me. And the scripture says that butler forgot. Well, his name is, everybody that forgets isn't always busy. There's only one butler. There's a lot of butlers that forget to do what we should do. But here's the Pharaoh, and he has a dream. And this wonder in this dream, and he says, oh, I don't know. I had a dream. I can't understand what this is all about. And I just needed to get out of here. I have to have somebody to tell me the way and show me what this is all about. And so he calls in his wise men, and he says, I had a dream. And he says, I dreamed that here's some cattle, there's 7 cattle, and they're coming out of the Nile River, and they're coming into the meadow, and they're fat, and they're beautiful cattle. And oh my, he says, I'm going to walk. He watched them come. And in this dream, he sees these cattle coming, and then pretty soon these skinny cattle come up, and they eat all of the fat cattle, cannibal cattle. Who ever heard of such a thing? Pharaoh never heard of such a thing. That's what he dreamed, and he woke up. He said, what in the world does that mean? And then somehow he got back to sleep, took a sleeping pill or something, and he went back to sleep. And this time when he was sleeping, he sees seven heads of grain come up on a stalk, and they're plump and they're beautiful. And then pretty soon there's come 7 more, and they're skinny little things, and they eat up the plump ones. What in the world does that mean? And he asks, calls his people in. He says, I want you to tell me what this means. So he calls in his magicians. He calls in his fortune tellers. He calls in his soothsayers. He calls in his wise men. He calls in his hocus pocus people. I don't know what they call them, but they're going, none of them can interpret the dream. And then the butler comes to life. And the butler remembers how the Joseph down in that prison had interpreted dreams for him. And Joseph says, this is from God. And he interpreted the dreams for the butler and the baker. And the butler says, oh, that's right. Joseph wanted me to remind this, remember him. So the butler went to Potiphar went to the Pharaoh. And he says, listen, I've got something to tell you. There was a young man in the prison with me, and he could interpret dreams because he had a special God. And so the Pharaoh sends for Joseph, and he says, bring it to me. I want to hear him. And it's, you know, it's interesting. It says in Genesis 41:14, he sends for Joseph, and it says, Joseph shaved and changed his clothing. He got cleaned up. He was in a pit, and he cleans up, and he comes to Pharaoh. And in no time flat, we see Joseph is exalted. And I'll tell you how it all happened. Here, Joseph knows the story, and he knows it because God has helped him. And he never came in his own wisdom and says, now this is the, I think this and I think that. No, he said, God, my God, Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and my great gods of all, he is the one true God, and he will help me to understand and interpret this dream. And he tells him what the interpretation is. It means there's going to be seven good years, and there's going to be 7 years of famine. And then Joseph gives a suggestion to the Pharaoh, and this is what he said. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over all the land of Egypt. And he is to do that so that he'll be able to set the whole thing in motion and they can handle this famine. And that's exactly what he did. And then we read in the Bible, this is what it says. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen, put on him a gold chain around his neck, and he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And now he is a rich man. From rags to riches, from the pit to the palace, God has raised Joseph up, and he's second only to Pharaoh. So there you have it. Now the next thing, next week we're going to look at this. We know that Joseph could handle poverty when he had nothing. He still had his God. What will he do with riches? That's a different story. And we just have to be very careful, because it's easier to handle poverty than it is to handle riches, they tell me. And so we're going to see how he handles riches. But the question, the thing that we have to do today is to see, do you know this God, Joseph? Can you live that life of Joseph? Can you live through those temptations? Can you be true to God in adversity? When you think that everything is gone, can you really still rejoice in God? Can you still trust in him? Well, that's the lesson we have to take here. That whether we're in good times or bad times, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. And because if we don't have Jesus Christ, we don't have any way to get to heaven. Because Jesus said that I'm the only way to heaven. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, he said. No man cometh unto the Father. You can't come to heaven unless you have me. And you say, that's awful narrow. You bet it is narrow. There's one way and only one, Jesus Christ. There's a broad road that leads to hell, but there's a narrow road that leads to heaven. And you say, I want to get on that right road. This is what you have to do. He that will come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I will not cast away. He says that many as believed him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, Jesus, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, passed from death unto life. you just pray, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. I'll serve you the best I can and thank him. If you do that, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send you literature and we'll help you get started in the Christian life. And now I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all those who are coming to you for salvation. Those who are calling on your name. Bless them, Lord, and help them to know that now they're a child of God. But dear Lord, we pray for those on beds of sickness, those who are shut-ins and those who can't get out, who can't get around, and some of them are lonely, and some of them are thinking, I wonder where God is. I don't see God. I don't feel God. I don't just understand it. And help them to know that you will never leave them or forsake them. If they call on your name, if they trust in you, you are there. Whether they feel it or not, it doesn't make a bit of difference. You are there, and help them to know that. Bless them. And Lord, we pray that you bless the Christian Worship Hour and help us that we'll be a blessing to others that will honor your name and help your people and bring the lost to yourself. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to thank all of you for joining us today. I hope you'll pray for us. We ask for your prayers. Hope you send us a gift. We got it on the screen there. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, for those of you on shortwave. We need to hear from you. We need your prayers more than anything. We need your help. And we love to write to you. So if you have a question or a problem, write. We'll answer every letter we get that we can help you in the Christian life. Help you along the way. So God bless you. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour sure loves you. And we'll look for you next week, Lord willing. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.